Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Text 21. Kalena,
Kalena,
Vrajadaptalpena,
Vrajadaptalpena,
Gokule,
Gokule,
Rama,
Rama,
Keshava,
Keshava,
Janubya,
Janubya,
Saha,
Saha,
Panibya,
Panibya,
Ringamana,
Ringamana,
Vijarato, enjoy childhood play.
Enjoy childhood play.
Translation. After a short time passed, both brothers, Rama and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Raja with the strength of their hands and knees, and thus enjoy their childhood play. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One Brahmin devotee says, Shrutim apare smritim, itare bharatam anye, bhajantu bhavabita ham, ihanandam vande yasya, linde param rama. Let others, which means, let others, fearing material existence, worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas, and the Mahabharat. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is crawling. For a highly exalted devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of the Supreme, appears no better than hell, Narakayate. But here, one can simply think of the crawling of Krishna and Balaram in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and always merge in transcendental happiness. As long as one is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna Lila, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes, as Parikshit Maharaj desired to be, one is always merged in actual Kaivalya. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. Lokasya janato vidvams, chakre sattvata samhitam. Srimad Bhagavatam 176. Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction of Narada, so that anyone can take advantage of this literature, think of Krishna's pastimes, and always be liberated. Then Srila Prabhupada repeats that verse which he quotes at the beginning of the purport, Shrutim apare smritim itare bharatam anye, bhajantu bhavabhitaram ihanandam vande yasya, linde param rama. Again. Kalena Vrajatalpena Gokale Ramakeshava Janu Byam Sahapani Byam Ringamano Bajaratu. After a short time passed, both brothers, Rama and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Raja with the strength of their hands and knees, and thus enjoy their childhood play. Nama Om Vishnu Vinaya Krishna Prasthaya Gurudev Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Kastu Chyadishtane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kapitaru Vyastagri Vasindar Vyavacha Padidana Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namah. Yes, so Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse from, well, it is actually referred to at least in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, which is his collection of his favorite verses, basically. As I recall, there's no specific reference given that it may be from some particular shastra, but it is certainly completely authoritative, being quoted by Rupa Goswami. And if I remember correctly, it's also quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam in the chapter describing Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and his trip to Vrindavan, or his going to Vrindavan, where he became one of the six Goswamis. So that verse is saying, that Brahmin devotee is saying, let other people who are very afraid of material existence and they're afraid of Maya and what are we going to do about this material nature and our attachments to it. Let people like that who are fearful of material existence worship the Vedas, means study the Vedas and follow the Vedas and other literatures, related literatures like Puranas, Mahabharat. They're very valuable because they give so much instruction about how to get out of Maya. If you're really in Maya and if you're really concerned about that. But that devotee said, that's okay for them. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to worship Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda Maharaj, he is so wonderful that the supreme absolute truth, Parabrahman, the supreme reality, is crawling in his courtyard and playing games and sometimes stealing the butter even, and so many things. Sometimes he's being chased by different people like Mother Yashoda. Sometimes he's being tied up. So Nanda Maharaj, he's so great that Supreme Absolute Truth is playing in his courtyard and he's there every day in his courtyard. And one day he's playing, another day he's stealing, another day he's crying, another day he's laughing. So, but I'm going to worship Nanda Maharaj because he's so great, the Absolute Truth is taking shelter of him. So how great is he? There are different verses, different statements in this vein, in this sort of manner of speaking that we find here and there in our Vaishnava literatures in Srila Prabhupada's books. For example, there's one verse where, I forget the exact details, but basically Lord Krishna says, I much prefer and I am much more moved by the chastisements of the gopis than I am by the hymns of the Vedas. This is there. So just see. It is the quality of bhakti, it is the quality of love. And particularly when it gets onto that level of love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan Nanda Maharaj and his so many associates, when the love comes onto that level, then Krishna appreciates so much and even so much more than other devotees whose love is not on that level, but they're trying to glorify the Lord in some way, some words there, speaking, appreciating. So it's good. It's good they're appreciating. It's not bad. But the degree of love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, or different degrees of love that they have, it's so much greater. Krishna is so much more deeply affected by it that if there were a sort of like the two things were happening at once, Some Brijbasi was chastising Krishna. Some other devotee was reciting some prayers. You are the greatest. But Krishna, he would just immediately, if he had to make the choice, he would just drop everything and be chastised by the Brijbasi. So, just see. And we made this point, we touched on this point, I think 2 days ago, anyway, just recently here, that we should not think that if Krishna does something to us, somehow Krishna is involved in our lives. And somehow by his arrangement, something happens which we don't appreciate. And then if we chastise Krishna in our minds, Krishna, why didn't you let me get that samosa? I missed the last one of the Sunday feast. You knew I wanted it. Why didn't you arrange that I get it? I'm your devotee. You're meant to help your devotees. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Jatila can do that. That's okay. That's good. Krishna relishes it so much. It's like a spicy chutney. Very hot and spicy, but very sweet at the same time. So he relishes it. But if we just moan and complain to Krishna, why this, why not that? Oh, Krishna. Oh. Then it's not that Krishna's just going to jump to attention and say, yes, I will correct things as you like. No, for us, it is Aparad. For them, it is Rad, Radha, it is worship. For us, it is Aparada. Yeah. Our miserable complaints are usually because in one way or another, directly or indirectly, things are not going according to our idea of what will make us happy. In other words, in so many cases like this, if a devotee or just anybody complains about how God is doing things or not doing things the way they want, there's a real element of it's clashing with my sense gratification. We were driving in a motor car in Johannesburg some years ago when that big tsunami happened, if you remember that, in Indonesia. And so many people died, and it was very devastating. So we were driving along, we saw one of these little posters, kind of, you know, that size, from the newspaper advertisement, like the headline. What is the headline today? So the headline was tsunami, like hyphen, where was God? ? What a classic. Tsunami happened. It was very bad. God is meant to be good. His fans say he's good. But where was he during the tsunami? He's not so good. He's bad. This is material, very material consciousness, of course. But even ourselves as aspiring devotees, sometimes if the going gets tough, well, they say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. It means the advanced devotees Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. When the going gets tough, then you can see more clearly who's on what level and who's more advanced, who's less advanced. When the going gets tough, who really takes shelter of the Lord and who just becomes miserable and just gives up, something like this. Yeah, when the going gets tough. Those who are more advanced, they really show themselves and you can see. And when the going gets tough, those who are not serious, those who are more or less, you know, the variety of devotee on the Sunday program, they are there just at the end of the arati, just in time for prasadam, because it is a devotional activity, Prabhupada. We have to take prasadam. So they come in at the end of the arati, just when the fan is being offered. And sometimes we call them Krishna's fan club. Just when the fan is being offered, just before prasadam. Anyway, perhaps we shouldn't say that. But there's no doubt, that different devotees, even in terms of ourselves, different devotees are on different levels. And some are less advanced and some are more advanced. Some are quite advanced, actually. And some others are really not very advanced. And Srila Prabhupada said, when everything is going nicely, then anyone can chant and dance Hari Hari Bol. Prabhupada said that. Anyone can chant and dance Hari Hari Bol when everything is going nicely. But when everything is not going nicely, then when you see the ones who are really still dancing and chanting Hari Hari Bol, they're more advanced. And the others who are, you know, somehow or other they're just not doing nicely. Well, anyway, at least they're devotees. At least they're devotees. So that's good. That's very good. But still, we should try to make progress. And when Krishna sends a test, some difficulty, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told me, and I think he just said it from time to time, that when he sees a test coming, some difficulty, he can see it's rising, coming forward. Then he said, I see, here comes Krishna in the form of a test. Not just, here comes misery. Here comes something bad. Oh no, don't want it. So we have to try to progress in our Krishna consciousness. And we're not on the level of some great devotee like Haridas Thakur, who, if there's some severe, deadly test, he's happy. We're not on that level. We can't imitate. But at the same time, we should understand this is the type of consciousness, actually. And we should aspire for that. And when we do become faced with some test, we should try to accept it in a positive way as the mercy of Krishna for our betterment in devotional service. And even though it may be a little painful, sometimes it will be. But Srila Prabhupada would say, when you have a boil, you have to just squeeze it out. You can't just blow on it or something like that. You have to deal with it. Knock it out. And initially it hurts a bit. But anyway, here, liberation is being described, referred to. At least Srila Prabhupada in the purport is referring to people on different levels who are interested in getting out of material life. The devotees are also interested in getting out of material life, meaning material consciousness. The devotees are very interested. They don't want to stay in material life in the sense of staying in material consciousness. But how to do that? For the devotees, it's very different to the impersonalists. The impersonalists also want to get out of material life. It's a big thing for them. And they, at least in some cases, they work very hard at it. They may deny themselves so much that even we, as aspiring devotees, we might find it very difficult. You know, sitting cross-legged, looking at the tip of your nose, suspending your ingoing breath into your outgoing breath for the next 20 years. No supermarket and no nothing. Just really nothing. Who would be willing? Who would be able? But some of these impersonalists, they do things like this. Vishvamitra, he was not exactly just an outright impersonalist, but he was certainly not an outright devotee. He was kind of mixed, and he was also on the impersonal side to some degree. So he sat there for how long? 60,000 years. He sat there for 60,000 years. With his eyes closed. And he did not take a break when it was prasadam time or something was happening. He just sat there. Of course, because he was not a devotee, when some challenge came, he quickly fell down, actually. But there's a type of sage or saintly person referred to actually in Srimad Bhagavatam. They simply lie on the ground with their mouths open. And if some, hopefully vegetarian, eatable something enters the mouth, like a leaf falls off the tree and enters the mouth, then they may eat it. This is austere, isn't it? Can you imagine? Not really. We can't even really imagine. It's just another dimension. So they're serious about their liberation and they're working hard at it. But, well, and they do get something out of it. In Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada mentions, Rupa Goswami has stated, that the pleasure of Brahman realization experienced by the realized impersonalists compared to the pleasure of material sense gratification is like the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf compared to the amount of water in an ocean. He says that about impersonal realization and experience compared to the experience of sense gratification. Of course, Rupa Goswami goes on to say about the experience, the pleasure of devotional service compared to the pleasure of impersonal realization. He says exactly the same thing, that the pleasure of devotional service is like the amount of water in an ocean compared to the amount of pleasure from impersonal realization. It is like the amount of water you find in a hoof print of a calf. Same example in both cases. So, you know, on one hand, that means that our attachment and people's attachments, but particularly ours, as aspiring devotees who really meant to be trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, that our remaining attachments, the attachments we allow ourselves to have, deliberately allow ourselves to have, to some sort of material pleasure, something in material life, Bollywood movie, or something, whatever it may be, some sort of attachment which we are maintaining in our lives. It's so foolish to maintain such an attachment or attachments, because to whatever degree we are maintaining those attachments, to that degree we cannot have access to the pleasure of devotional service. They just offset each other. They're directly related to each other, and we should be clear on that. And we should be clear that if we can give up those attachments through actually absorbing ourselves in devotional service, not just as the impersonalists do, just trying to give them up, but through engaging more fully in devotional service, if we can give up those attachments, we are doing ourselves a great favor. We're doing ourselves a very great favor. So the thing is, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, that the pleasure of devotional service, the whole experience of devotional service, it is completely in a different dimension from even the experience of impersonal realization. It's just something so much better. So that even just the idea that Krishna and Balaram are crawling in the dirt. On the material level, if you hear, some child was crawling in the dirt. It is not very exciting, is it? Unless it may be your child and you're attached or whatever. Whatever your child does is good. That sort of idea. So, but otherwise, you never find on the front page of the newspaper, or even the back page, somebody's child was crawling in the dirt. It is just a non-event. It is too insignificant. But when a devotee hears Krishna and Balaram were crawling in the dirt, the devotee feels, wow, that's so wonderful. Whose dirt were they crawling in? Nanda Maharaj's dirt. Oh, I worship Nanda Maharaj. I wish Krishna and Balaram would crawl in my dirt. That would just be the best day in my life. So whatever Krishna and Balaram do, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. It's just amazing. For the devotees, it's just overpoweringly wonderful. Completely, overwhelmingly wonderful. And in those loving exchanges, what to speak of crawling in the dirt, which is not very nice. But in those loving exchanges, even when someone like Jatila chastises Krishna, you get out, you rascal. Leave my daughter-in-law alone. Get away. Krishna is so happy. Because it's actually done with love. Sometimes some of these things, it may be a little difficult to understand. How is it being done with love? Where is the love in it? But actually it's a fact. Actually it's a fact that There is tremendous, unalloyed, pure devotional love in the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And even when they, like Jatila, she may be the most prominent example, even when they do something which, from the material point of view, it might appear to not be so good, like chastising Krishna, but it's all part of the transcendental loving exchanges, and Krishna relishes it so much. So not that we should become expert in chastising, but we should try and cultivate that love through following the process of devotional service. Through following the process of sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, sometimes it may not appear so exciting, but it is only through doing that, following the process of sadhana bhakti as given by Srila Prabhupada, that we will get out of our material condition, deeply materialistic condition. So we should apply ourselves very nicely to the process of devotional service. Try and become attached to Krishna and Balaram. After all, this is what is being described here. Krishna and Balaram. And we are here at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. So everyone here should really try and render service to Krishna and Balaram, and really become absorbed in that mood of service to Krishna and Balaram. You know, the different devotees in Vrindavan, they see Krishna as their child, as their friend, the cowherd boys, as their boyfriend, the gopis, and like that. So it appears they don't take Krishna seriously. In terms of Krishna and Balaram, there's one very nice description of how Krishna and Balaram, they, with their cowherd boyfriends, they sometimes, often actually, they have team sports. They create teams. And then one leader chooses one boy, another leader chooses another boy, and they make up their teams. They did this in the killing of Pralambasura, in that particular pastime. Teams were made in that way. So the description is, Krishna, he loves his devotees so much that amongst the cowherd boys, when they have some competition, who can do this, who can do that first, Krishna usually allows his friend to win. And he loses. It's as, not because he can't beat them, but he just allows it out of affection. So, Krishna is famous amongst the cowherd boys as a bit of a loser. He's a bit of a loser. He always loses. In their loving exchanges, they are seeing it like that under the influence of Yoga Maya. So the description is that when the two boys are chosen to be heads, leaders of two teams, and they choose, I'll take you, and you take you, and they choose one by one. But nobody chooses Krishna because Krishna's a loser. And you don't want a loser on your team. And in the end, they've chosen everyone. There's no one left to choose except Krishna. And so the leaders say to each other, "You want Krishna? No, no, I don't need him. You can have him. I don't want Krishna on my side. He always loses." So it's the same idea. It's the same idea. But in this way, the pastimes become very wonderful. And just, they develop a transcendental richness and depth and beauty of love, which takes them way beyond even the pastimes in Dwarka and what to speak of in Vaikuntha. And even people like Jatila, famous for being apparently against Krishna, but actually she's a very great devotee. By the arrangement of Yoga Maya, people like her are there, and she is sort of making arrangements to involve her in the pastimes, not just to be a nuisance, not just to be a challenge, to create obstacles, but actually to heighten the ecstasy, to heighten the ecstasy by providing transcendental obstacles and as we mentioned, transcendental spice. Because after all, if you have a sabji and a, you know, boiled potatoes with salt, it's not very exciting, is it? Shushu, boiled shushu, without even salt. It is the month of Katyayani. There's a transcendental austerity done by the unmarried girls in Katyayani. The Katyayani Vrata involves eating only khichdi once a day. And that khichdi is only rice and dal boiled. Only. Not even salt. No shushu. No nothing. Just rice and dal boiled. And then it is thrown on the ground. It's not on your nice stainless steel plate. And it's not even on the nice marble floor. It's actually on the earth. And you have to sit cross-legged, the young girl, with her hands held behind her back and bend over and eat like that. But the good news is, sort of, she can eat as much as she can eat until she sits up. So she's bending over and eating. She can eat until she sits up, then wait till tomorrow. Anyway, so Srimati Radharani Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, she's explaining to one devotee. The devotee asks Radharani, "Wouldn't it be better if you and Krishna were married? Then you could be together all the time. No one would say anything. Now you're not married, even if you just look at each other. Oh, big trouble. Big trouble. But you could just be together 24 hours a day. If you were married, wouldn't it be better?" And Radharani said, "Actually, I think it would be very boring. We would have to be together. And I would look at Krishna and say, 'Krishna, I love you.' And Krishna would look at me and say, 'I love you too.' And I would say to Krishna, 'I love you very much.' And he would say, 'I love you very much too.' And it would be boring. So it is better like this. Radharani said. It makes things more exciting. And she said, actually, our relationship is like a very good chutney. So hot, you can hardly manage eating it. But so sweet, you can't resist it. That's our relationship. So this is what is going on in these transcendental pastimes. Even you get people chastising Krishna. Even Krishna steals the butter. Someone mentioned that. Was it here someone mentioned Krishna stealing the butter the other day? Krishna. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Kiriya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains why Krishna steals the butter. It's all going on under yoga maya. But the thing is, all the cows want their milk to be used for Krishna. And the household ladies, they milk the cows, and they take the milk and make it into different things. And they want everything to be used for Krishna. So like this, all the love of the cows, all the love of the housewives in Vrindavan, it goes into the milk and the butter and the yogurt. These products, dairy products, are just saturated with that devotion. But the problem is, so they would like to just call Krishna, here, take it. But the problem is that under the influence of yoga maya, the husbands object. Not that the husbands are not devotees, but under the influence of yoga maya, the husbands object. Come on. You know, we're looking after all these cows. I spend my whole day looking after the cows just so we get nice milk and nice dairy products so we can live. And you're giving it all away. It's under the influence of yoga maya. But this is what happens. But still the ladies and the cows, but particularly the ladies, they really want Krishna to get the butter and the yogurt and all the other things as an expression of their love, but they can't do it. Otherwise there might be some big fight. Who knows, maybe even divorce, but probably not, but some danger would be there. So they can't do it. So Krishna, attracted by their love and understanding the whole situation, in order to reciprocate, Krishna steals the butter. Not just because he's a butter fanatic, but he's a love fanatic. He's a prema fanatic, completely ruled by love. So driven in that way, he steals the butter. So the ladies will not get into trouble by giving him the butter and their husbands complaining. He steals it. And he takes the blame just so he can have this reciprocation of love with those devotees. And the ladies, they know it. And they're happy when Krishna steals the butter. But it's all part of the pastime. When the husbands come back and they ask, where's the butter? And the wives say, Krishna stole it again. And the husbands say, no, not again. Then the wives sort of play along and say, yes, it's terrible, isn't it? But actually they're very happy that they were able to actually, Krishna accepted their love. And just like now, it's Katyayani. Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. on the last day of this month, on the last day. And the gopis were apparently angry. But the Bhagavatam describes, when they got their clothes back and they left, they were chanting the glories of Krishna. Yeah, they were not going away speaking to each other about that rascal Krishna, we'll get him, we'll steal his clothes, we'll tell on him, we'll make sure his father chastises him. They were not feeling like that. They were just singing and glorifying Krishna as usual, because Krishna was reciprocating with them. They wanted to be his wives. If a young boy sees a young girl undressed, immediately he must accept her as his wife. So in that way, indirectly, Krishna accepted them as his wives. They were not expecting it. They were not expecting it to happen in that way. They were expecting it to happen in a more normal way. But Krishna is full of fun. Krishna is a very creative person. So, you know, often he doesn't do things in the way you expect. But part of progressing as a devotee is becoming more able to accept how Krishna deals with you without becoming bewildered or confused. And the gopis are first-class examples of that. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question, Maharaj? Arjuna Prabhu, Sarvabhauma Prabhu, Shriniketan Prabhu, words of wisdom. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.